championship. For the first time in two decades, college basketball has a repeat champion.
And Coach K is the proud father of three in more ways than one. At midcourt, launches the shot. Oh, and almost went in! Almost went in, and Duke is the king of the dance, 2010. The Blue Devils are the national champions of 2015.
National championship number five for Mike Krzyzewski.
Just an unbelievable tournament performance by Coach K and his young Devils.
Happy Sunday. Winding down this weekend that was full of Duke basketball. Starting off on Friday, you had Duke thrashing Elon 97-68, and then back-to-back picking it up on Saturday, also thrashing Utah Valley 99-69, which was good to see. Utah Valley played Kentucky the night before, and they gave Kentucky a little trouble. They were up by 9 at halftime, and they actually looked good against Duke the first 8 minutes, gave Duke a little trouble, and then Duke picked it up behind Marvin Bagley's run. And from then on out, it was all Duke. You know, team stats for both of these games were very similar. Point totals, field goal percentages, rebounds, assists, fouls. Everything was really similar. It was good to see. Good to see the energy, the hustle, the togetherness, you know, the talent level that they're playing against. Again, it's not top 25 in the nation talent, but like I said on the last episode, practicing good habits no matter who you're playing against is extremely important, and to see them doing that, it was really good to see. I'm a little under the weather, so maybe a few more pauses than usual. My throat is super dry. It's like 10 degrees outside. And I caught a little something, so working through that. But anyways, with these games, you know, first of all, I want to get this out of the way. They were streamed on ESPN ACC Network. And I get it's 2017 and everybody has Wi-Fi. Everyone has an iPhone. Everyone has, you know, whatever internet capabilities, but it's Duke basketball, the number one team in the country, the number one fan base in the country. I get the TV deals and everything, but put the fucking game on a TV channel. What else is there on TV? I just, you know, streaming a game, for me, it's okay, but I like... And I get you can, you know, if you don't know, you can rewatch the replay of the game, the whole game on ESPN, you know, the app, after it's over. You can rewatch it and rewatch it as many times as you want, which is great. But I also have a DVR, and, you know, on the weekends and stuff, I'm just trying to watch it on my TV. I'm not trying to deal with the internet. I'm not trying to deal with my phone, my laptop. Whatever it is, Wi-Fi, whatever, just find a channel to put it on. There's 1,000 channels. Just put it on one. Preferably ESPN, because what more do you have to put there? I saw UNC was on ESPN. So, nobody's trying to watch them. Put Duke on, the number one team in the nation. But at least they were streamed. Got to watch them that way. You can go rewatch them if you didn't get to see them on Watch ESPN. However, I know you can find a channel to put them on. It's the number one team in the country. For sure, put them on TV. That's it for my complaining of the episode. Anyways, Friday, you know, this team, you hadn't seen them against an actual team. You know, you saw some exhibitions. You liked what you saw from them. But you want to see them in a real game under the bright lights. And against Elon, Elon gave Duke some trouble last year, you know, Grayson Allen with the tripping thing, and we turned the ball over a lot, we looked sloppy. So this year, they basically returned the exact same team. They can shoot well, and that's what Duke faced in the first game. So it honestly was a test. They were a 20-point favorite, so you expect them to win, obviously. But not only to win, but to cover the spread and win handedly. It was really good to see. Grayson got off to a crazy start. Just looked like, I was just like, is it too early to call him the greatest player of all time? And then Marvin Bagley was like, you may want to call Grayson Allen the greatest player of all time, but watch this. And, you know, he showed out as well. 25-10 in his first game. And, you know, he broke Shavlik Randolph's record of most points by a freshman in their first game. Grayson looked great, you know, 22 points. Gary Trent provided a spark, 4 threes, you know, 17 points. He had 17 points in both games. If he puts up an efficient 17 in his defense and grabbing the 4 or 5 rebounds a game that he does here and there, you can't ask for more from him. It was great to see. You know, it's like he flies under the radar a little bit. It's just like here and there, knocks down a bucket, gets a steal, gets a block, crashes the board, grabs a rebound, gets out in transition, gets an and one, and it's like he's hardly talked about because all the other talent. So that's just so exciting. And for me, he's one of my, like, he's like probably, you know, you always pick that favorite out on the team. It was Justice. It was Frank Jackson for me. And this year it's Gary Trent. But the first game, the only thing that happened negatively is Wendell Carter Jr., you know, he got in a little foul trouble in the beginning, held his minutes down, especially since they were blowing him out in the second half. But he still looked good. He was efficient. Like what I saw from him. And I like what I saw from everybody. Quick rundown of just each person, you know, Trayvon Duval, these two games, man, that was so impressive. One turnover in 51 minutes of play. And that's to a ratio of 20 assists. I mean, what more can you ask for? 20 assists and one turnover? Running the point as a freshman? Also, he didn't take, you know, he took 2 threes first game, and he took 1 3 the second game. Missed all three. But they were good shots. The main thing that I saw from him is he's patient. He's not forcing anything. He is making passes that I don't like. The passes that he was making to Marvin Bagley and Grayson and in transition and pushing the pace, finishing around the rim, just it was like he made the right play every single time. And to see that these first two games from him, I'm so excited for him to play Michigan State. I mean, I'm excited for the whole team, but he just looked ready. He looked poised, even though his jump shot isn't a jump shot of, you know, Steph Curry. It's okay. Like I said before, his jump shot isn't going to make or break the team because all of his other skills to make up his full skill set mixed with the patience and kind of veteran mindset that you saw from him of just making the right play. It's just like he saw things happening before they were happening. And the big men or the guards that he was throwing it to, passing it to, they were all on the same page. And to see that assist to turnover ratio, to see the patience that he had, it was exciting. Being suspended for the exhibition game and not playing as much in that first exhibition game because it was such a blowout. It was, these two games showed a lot from Duval. And it really showed a lot from everyone. Again, like the last episode, like I said, no one, you know, everyone lived up to expectation. And these first two games, it's the same story. Everyone lived up to expectations. You had Grayson. I mean, I don't have to say anything about him. Everyone knows what he's bringing to the table, his shot, his athleticism, the way he's getting to the rim, just all the talent around him. It couldn't be a better position for Grayson Allen to be in as a senior, to have this much talent, this much size, this much length, this much athleticism, a true point guard, a good defense around him. It couldn't be a better situation for him, and it shows with an efficient 22 points against Elon. And another, you know, he got off to a slow start, and then he just caught fire, scored 18 against Utah Valley. And the thing is he doesn't have to score 25. He doesn't have to hit 10 threes. He doesn't have to force any shots. He really doesn't at all. He has Marvin Bagley on the floor with him. He has Wendell Carter on the floor with him. And guess what? If he takes a good shot and misses, odds are one of them are going to grab the rebound. So it's just like almost every single play, Duke should come away with a good shot. If not, then the other team had a outstanding defensive possession, or somebody was being lazy. You know, every now and then plays break down. You got to force something up just so you don't have a shot clock violation or anything. But for the most part, they should get a good shot every time. And as for Marvin Bagley, I mean, these first two games are just, wow. 25-10, 24-10. He did everything. He hit threes, or he hit a three. But he hit threes, rebounded, blocked, defended, brought the ball up the court, pushed the pace, caught lobs, worked in the post, went one-on-one, finished over people. Looked patient. I mean, I don't even know what to say about him. He's a unicorn. He also has the best hair on the team. He's just letting that shit go, and I like it. It adds at least like 4 inches. He's about 7'4". I'm so excited to see him play against a team that thinks they have the answer for him, like Michigan State. I'm really excited. And if you do have the answer for him, if you double team him, do whatever you want, because it looks like he can make the right play out of the double. Speaking of making the right play, you know, Wendell Carter, his stats weren't gigantic these two games. Like I said, he got into foul trouble against Elon, finished up with 8-6. And, you know, he played 31 minutes against Utah Valley, and he had 12-7 and 4 assists. Those 4 assists were insane. You know, he'd be posting up. Bagley would cut from the free throw line. He'd dump it to him for a dunk. And that was just insane to see, because you just don't see that too much. You don't see a big, especially a freshman, posting up like that and just have the sense of mind to dump it to Bagley on the cut, or throw it to the corner to a wide open Gary Trent for a three. So his stats weren't gigantic, but the energy, the toughness, the ferociousness he plays with, it really complements Bagley. And, you know, when Wendell Carter and Javon are on the floor together, mixed with Bagley, it's just like the energy level on defense is just crazy. You know, Javon Delorier, he's a person who, he played 19 minutes against Elon, a big reason because Bolden was out and Carter Jr. was in foul trouble. And then he got 11 against Utah Valley, 11 minutes. He's almost a guy that you wish you could run 29 minutes for, but it's hard to find those minutes when you have Trayvon Duval, who's going to be out there the majority of the time, Grayson Allen, who is going to be out there the majority of the time, with Gary Trent, you know, he can guard 1 through 3, maybe 1 through 4, and he's shooting it so well right now. And you have him out there, and then Wendell Carter Jr., he's so underrated right now, how good he's been. And then Marvin Bagley, who's, you know, the best player of all time, LOL. It's so hard to find minutes for Javon. Throw in Bolden. Throw in a few minutes for Goldwire. Alex O'Connell looked outstanding off the bench. You know, he's getting a few minutes here and there, and I didn't even think he would, but damn, he looks good. And how lengthy he is and how quick that shot is. He wasn't forcing anything. I mean, you can't complain about him at all. He looks 12 years old out there, but he plays like he's a seasoned sophomore or junior right now in the few minutes that he got, which was great to see, because if he looks that good this year, think of how well he's going to complement and grow next year when he's actually getting minutes with the likes of Trey Jones, Cam Reddish, and oh yeah, RJ Barrett. We'll get to that in a minute. So for Javon, it's just, you know, when he comes in, that energy that he has and that ferociousness of, like, when this ball comes off the rim, I'm getting it. I don't care who else comes over here. I'm getting it. Try to stop me. And then if somebody goes up for a shot in the paint, Javon's going to make sure that he does everything he can to swat it. He even hit a 3. You know, his shot looked better. He looked patient. I can't really complain about anything these first two games. Like I said, the talent level they were playing against, they're supposed to win. These are tune-up games. They're at Duke. But there's nothing to complain about. Grayson Allen and Gary Trent Jr. are continuing to grab anywhere between 6 to 10 rebounds a game, you know, together. So for the two wing guys to be grabbing those rebounds, along with Bagley getting 10, Carter getting 7, you know, Duval grabbing 1 or 2 or 3, Delorier grabbing 4 or 5, 6, depending on his minutes, Bolden grabbing a couple, O'Connell grabbing a couple. It's just like, even though we have the bigs, everyone's rebounding, everyone is taking no plays off. You know, they were blowouts, but Coach K went into the bench, and he went into the bench early, and that was a good sign to see this early. Like I said, I want to see him go into the bench and get people a breather every, you know, when they can. In these tough games like Michigan State, grab Bagley and Grayson and Duval, grab them a couple minutes here and there, so when it comes down to it, the last 7 minutes of the game, those guys aren't drained out. We've seen it in the past. We saw it with Tatum. We saw it with Grayson in the past. There's no need to have that this year. So that was good to see in these games this early. And, I mean, that's about it for these two games. It was really exciting to see the fact that just we don't have to rely on one guy to put in 25 points. We don't have to rely on making 15 threes. We don't have to rely on Grayson Allen. And that was just good to see. It really was. And it was good to see a true point guard running the point the way it should be ran, and just looking like he's been doing that for this team for years. I hope he keeps up. You know, they're going to go play Michigan State on Tuesday. I can't wait. That's going to be a great test. A lot of people are saying Michigan State is the favorite right now. ESPN Power Index has it like that. But ultimately, from a betting standpoint, it should be like a pick 'em. It should basically be a pick 'em game where, you know, it could go either way. For me, Duke has more talent. Duke is way deeper. Duke has a better coach. Coach K has owned Izzo in the past. The way these two games look, we look great. But Michigan State, they're lengthy. They're tough. They're seasoned. They're strong. They have Miles Bridges. So it's a great test this early. If we end up, you know, if Duke ends up having a tough game and getting beat, it'll really do them good this early. But I don't want that to happen. I want them to keep riding the high off these wins. I want them to, you know, really touch up Michigan State and really show their toughness that we have, while also showcasing just what a good team they are already and what a cohesive unit they are already. If they do that, if they hustle, if they take no plays off, if they rebound with, you know, that tenacity that they've been showing, defend with that tenacity they've been showing, like I said, just don't take a play off, and execute the way that they're supposed to and the way that they can, I say they beat Michigan State, and I say they should beat Michigan State. But I'm a Duke homer. I'm a Duke fan. We're all Duke fans. So we're all going to say that until proven otherwise. But I think that's how it should go. It'll be interesting to see who matches up with Miles Bridges, what sets they throw at him. He had 20-10 his first game, I believe, and it'll be interesting to see. Duke went 2-3 zone for a little bit in the past game, and it really did them well. The switch up really confused, I think it was Utah Valley, really threw them off and really did good. So you might see a little of that. But overall, man, it was great to see these first two games. For sure put them on a TV channel, though. Glad this Michigan State game is going to be on ESPN, obviously. A lot of buzz around this game, and it's going to be a good one. So we'll be back to recap that. Hopefully my throat will be feeling better. This has been a struggle to talk. Really scratchy. And anyways, congrats to Coach K on 1,000 wins with Duke. 1,000 wins with Duke as Duke's head coach. Man, the greatest coach of all time. If you think otherwise, then block me. You know, it was a big thing when he won 1,000 total with the 2015 National Championship team. Won 1,000 games as a head coach and then won the National Championship. And then this year, won 1,000 games as Duke's head coach. And now hopefully he will go on and win the National Championship again. And then next year, win the national championship again. These last few years of his coaching, let's just go on a run and just mop up the NCAA with multiple championships. I'm sure you already know, but on Friday before the Elon game, RJ Barrett committed to Duke. He is Canadian. He is the number one player in the 2018 class, joining Cam Reddish and Trey Jones to team up and play for Duke next year. What an incredible get for this. You know, he is Jesus, I'm not feeling well right now. He is an incredible player. He's Steve Nash's godson. He's 17 years old. Everyone says he is just a great talent and has an insane mindset as a winner. Steve Nash said he is NBA ready right now, and many have said whatever team RJ Barrett plays for next year is the team that I'm betting on. That's how good he is. Well, it just so happens to be that he's going to the best basketball university in the world, so I'll double down on that team, joining Cam Reddish and Trey Jones, as I said, and then you'll see whoever returns for this team. And that's already a title contender. That's already most likely a favorite. Insane athleticism, a true point guard, and whoever returns from this year. Like I said, I'm liking what I see from Alex O'Connell already. I'm looking for him to take the reins at that two guard. It's going to be a good year, so don't look ahead too far because we still have a whole year to enjoy, and it's going to be a great year to enjoy. I'm so excited for this year. But don't worry about it being over too soon, because when it's over, when they win that national championship this year, next year is going to have an extreme amount of excitement and potential around it as well. So it's a good time to be a Duke fan, and I'm excited for Tuesday. I know everyone else is as well. Congratulations to the GOAT, Coach K. Thank you so much for listening and following along. Reach out. Say what's up. Say what you think about the Michigan State game coming up. It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a good test. And these guys are young, but they don't play young and they don't act young. Also saw Wendell Carter said, if we do what we're supposed to, we should be undefeated. So I was like, okay, I'm in. I'm on that bandwagon until proven otherwise. But we will see Tuesday. Until then, go Duke. Duke gang. I need a cough drop. Talk to you soon. I'm out.